What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Sahil Sehgal Show, where we interview some unstoppable entrepreneurs who are dominating figures in their businesses. Sahil here, back again with an awesome, insane guest. Today, we are going to interview one of the hidden gems who has helped clients generate over $900 million in sales directly from his unique copywriting skills. He has written advertising copies for 400 plus markets and some top marketing agencies in UK, US. High-performing ads for Tony Robbins and campaigns that have added millions to his clients' bottom line. And added to that, the amount that his consultancy clients made, copywriting mentees, and students have made is close to $1.2 billion. That's crazy. What's up, everyone? This is Sahil here, and welcome to the Sahil Sehgal Show, where I'm gonna be interviewing some crazy entrepreneurs out there who started from scratch with no experience, resources, and connections, and then later on became unstoppable and dominating figures in their respective businesses. We're gonna dive deep into the mindset of these super successful entrepreneurs to find out how they did it and how you can model it too. It's time to pick their brains and uncover all the strategies and tactics which these entrepreneurs use to scale their businesses from nowhere to multiple six, seven, and eight figures. Welcome to the Sahil Sehgal Show. Without any further ado, I want to welcome Adil Amarsi to our show today. Welcome,
hey,
man.
Thanks. Thanks, Sahil, so much. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure and honor to have you, man. Cool. Let's dive in. So I want to start with that, Matt. Can you share your journey of becoming a copywriter? What sparked your interest in this field, basically?
Wow. Okay. So I'll try and give you the short version of the story, which is just the cliff notes. So my journey started when I was five. So I've been doing this since I was 12, but it was unconsciously writing till I was 12, and then I went pro at 18. But I'll explain all those areas in a moment. So when I was 5 years old, my dad was paralyzed from the waist down for 2 years. For whatever reason, there's neurological conditioning. His legs just stopped working one day. And I grew up in the 90s. So like Cartoon Network versus Nickelodeon was all the rage in the UK. So I have an older sister. So she and I used to fight over what we would watch. And of course, the way I figured it out was if I watched whatever my dad was watching, I could be in charge of the TV. And in doing so, I would just have like be able to watch cartoons all day. So I love doing that. So from this drive of cartoons, I watched a lot of shows, and specifically one of the shows my dad absolutely loved was Countdown, which is a UK show about words and numbers. Another show called 15 to 1, which is about really random trivia. And the third was the Home Shopping Channel with Billy Mays. I used to watch that 2 hours a day, 6 days a week for 2 years. My brain hasn't formed at that point. I'm very, very unconscious matter. And I get taught how to sell by one of the greatest salespeople of all time. In that same way, at 12 years old, my parents get pulled into the school. They get told, hey, listen, your son is smart, but he has issues with writing. He, like, if you read the way I used to write my handwriting as a child, as I was a teenager, and then later on, it progressively got worse. And the reason was because as a child, I was a neat freak. So if I made a single mistake on the page, I'd tear the page out and start again. I couldn't cross the page out. I had to start again because it had to be perfect. So because of this, my teachers were concerned I'll get left behind at secondary school. So my dad got me, at this point, he could walk again. My dad actually, that's a miracle in its own right. That's like a whole story in its own. But like my dad got me to start working at his shop, like his import-export business, and just start writing. And it wasn't writing advertising, it was just writing, it was just practice. Fast forward to the time I'm 18 years old, I have a whole different life trajectory at 12 years old. I want to go into stand-up comedy, I want to go into like music, I want to go into like martial arts, I want to fight professionally. There's like all these different things I want to do in my life. Writing advertising was not one of them, nowhere near that. 18 years old, however, is a bit different. I leave school at 17. I work a job in retail for 6 months, and during that time period, my old Thai boxing coach basically pulls me aside and gets me into network marketing. Thankfully, the product I was selling in network marketing wasn't like some dream shake or some piece of software or whatever. It was self-development. I was selling self-development. I was like, I can sell self-development all day long. I don't care. It's all about improving yourself. I end up having a team of 10 people underneath me. And then, of course, there's a whole falling out of me and my upline, my original mentor. And I ended up basically going, okay, I'm going to go away from this and try and figure out how to do this online marketing thing. Long story short, I end up going to an event when I was 18, 19 years old. I become friends with the speakers. 6 months later, I get invited to be part of the crew for the same event. Because this crew, what they would do is they wouldn't hire a professional crew. They would hire audience members that are really interested, which is a really good way of like saving money, but also making sure that everyone gets exposure. And I'd get access to this free event. So I went to this event. I remember sitting with the speakers in the back, and for some reason they really liked me. Guys like Stephen Esser, Alex Goad, Saj P, Brett McFaul, just you name it, like the who's who at this time, like the World Internet Summit guys were there. It was like ridiculous. Anyway, while this is all going down, I get asked, "What are you good at?" And I'm like, "Well, I'm terrible at traffic because I've only made one sale on ClickBank at this point, because ClickBank was the big affiliate place before what it is today. It was like back in the day, it was amazing." Anyway, we go do a thing, have a chat, because back then, by the way, no one had their own payment processes, so we used places like ClickBank to process all our payments. I'm talking like 2008 right now. I get told by someone going, "What are you good at?" And I said, "I'm not good at traffic." They go, "What are you good at?" I was like, "Well, I wrote a blog post and 10 people saw it and 7 of them gave me money." And they were like, "70% conversion rate? Yeah, you're a natural. You're a natural copywriter." I was like, "What's a natural copywriter?" Because the only thing I knew about copywriting was from John Carlton from so during my time period in between, I found Frank Kern's Mass Control 2.0. And I wanted Mass Control 2.0. I just didn't have the money for it. And during being on his list, I learned of a guy called John Carlton who said copywriting was the master skill. So I went through that and Gary Halbert. And then I ended up working in sales for a while, like door-to-door sales, telesales, every type of sales while writing copy. And then from the time I was 18, 19 years old, I had my first huge win. I had a few small wins, you know, with a few people here, there, and everywhere. But I had my first huge win where I did about £3.5 million, or like at the time, $6 million in the space of a week. For a promo for one of my clients at the time that had a $15,000 a year training. So it was pretty intense. It wasn't like, "Okay, I've done it. Now I'm gonna go be successful." It was more like, "Oh my God, I done it. What's wrong with me?" And then I just completely sabotaged, because when your mind isn't right, no amount of success is gonna be enough and you're gonna completely ruin it, which I did. Which brought me into self-development more so. And yeah, ever since then, I've just been writing ads. And throughout my 20s, I kind of spent a long time just getting really good at my craft. And now I'm 33 years old and 34 this year. It's a really interesting place because I'm actually starting to put myself a little bit more out there, where people are like, "Oh, who's Adult?" It's like this guy. So I'm no longer just like undergroundly well known. It's so like the cool thing is most of your favorite marketers probably know me on a first name basis.
Wow, that's quite a journey,
Yeah.
man. That's impressive. Long thing.
Thanks.
I'm curious to know, how old were you when you got your first project? Like official first
Uh,
project you got paid for?
18, it's 18 years
Wow.
old. Yeah. So I got my first gig. It was $500 to write a full sales funnel in like 4 days. And back then it was so easy. I just done. Now it's like, "Oh my God, this takes me months." It's 'cause I know more now than I used to. Like, so yeah.
Gotcha. And you wrote, man, like more than in 400 markets. I'm curious to know, a lot of
422.
people just stick to two or three niches or markets,
Yeah.
but what led you to diversify in this writing to these many niches or markets?
Well, I didn't ask this before we went live, but can I swear a little bit or no? Because I don't like doing it unless it's
That's
like
fine.
necessarily natural. Because I'm not a bitch. That's basically what it is. I mean this in the nicest way possible. My teachers, when I came up, my teachers were gunslingers. Okay, J. Abraham, Gary Howard, John Carlton, John Caples. You got people like all these incredible like writers, David Ogilvy. You got all these legendary writers at the highest level, all writing for multiple niches. Seriously, look at how many different niches John Carlton wrote for, or Gary Halbert, or any of the people I've mentioned. You will see tons. Even Eugene Schwartz wrote for tons of different niches. Yes, you can be good at a few certain ones, like, you know, with health and wellness or whatever it is. But what I find is too many people specialize way too quickly. And there used to be only two levels. There's a generalist and a specialist. There's a third level, which is a generalized specialist, specialized generalist, which is essentially you can walk in because what you've done has gone a level above. You're no longer thinking about what this product can do. You're thinking about the deeper levels of psychology of how humans interact. Once you unlock that level of it, however, now you're able to just practically sell ice to Eskimos. Because what you know is human psychology. You're no longer thinking about why is my product uniquely powerful, whatever it is. You're really going, "What problem does this solve? What emotion does it fix? And how can I help people get there, make that conclusion?"
Amazing man.
So
You
yeah,
see, I love that thing. Specialized generalist. That's what you said, right?
yeah, like or generalized specialist. It's one or two. A specialized generalist is the way I look at it. I've never really come up with a solid name for it, but that's basically it. Maybe I'll just call it Mavericks. Who knows? But going back to it, I always tell people start with one niche and then never stop growing. Like it's adding more stuff. There's a really good copywriter that I know that lives in Ireland. She basically on a weekly basis, she's adding new skills to her cap. And I'm looking at her going, holy crap, when you get to the other side, you're going to be one hell of a hard person to beat. And she is. She has that belief and keeps that belief up. She's going to be one hell of a hard person to beat.
I see. And in terms of that, like when we're talking about it, well, according to you, what do you believe that sets apart a great copywriter from an average one? How would you say that?
There's a few things. I'm going to borrow something from. This is something that I know John Carlton used to say. Alan Sultanich says it quite a lot as well. But like John first was the one that like really shaped this into me like 20, nearly 20, well, 16 years ago, which was or 15 years ago, which was fiction makes good copywriters, and that's what I've always lived by. Is I watch a lot of TV, I watch a lot of movies, I read a lot of books. I mean, you can't see my current bookshelf because I'm no longer in my old apartment, so like my books have been put in storage. But at one point, I think I had like 1,000 to 1,200 books in my house, just all the time in different genres, spaces, niches, understanding like everything from storytelling and more, and stories and fiction. What really separates? So to answer your question more directly, what separates a good copywriter from a great one? It's three very simple things. Of course, it's three things, but it is three very simple things. One is determination, because that's an obvious one that you need to be determined. Number two is becoming a student of human psychology. And I don't mean like, ooh, whatever it is. No, I have a background in NLP. I've done NLP, like my training. I've got my hypnotherapy training. By the way, I never use any of that shit in my copy. At least consciously, I don't. Most of the time, I use it to justify why something works. I'm like, oh, I wonder why this thing I wrote works. And it was like, if I look at it from different lenses, I can find it. But anyway, so number one is, of course, determination. Number two is become a study and student of human psychology, how people behave, what they do, and how they get around it. If you want to develop that, it leads to number three, consume mass amounts of fiction and what the public is consuming. I was doing a podcast with Roy Fur about 2 weeks ago, and Roy actually was the one that showed this to me, and he was really true because I said to him, like, this is what I mean. You've got to study what humanity is watching. And he told me, like, Eugene Schwartz used to do this thing where every time there was a blockbuster movie, he would go buy a ticket to go watch that blockbuster movie on opening night or during the first couple of weeks. And you got to realize the reason they were doing this at such a high level, they were reading the books the masses were reading, they were seeing what was going on, is because you can keep your finger on the pulse. You can see exactly how people are thinking, what they're doing, why they're going through what they're going through, and what they want to experience. So, what's a TV show you're watching right now?
Me, I avoid that. I listen to podcasts a lot of the time, entrepreneurs and all that.
Okay.
Or the latest one, I would say, Money Heist.
Money heist. Money heist. Okay. So, would you respond? I'm going to send you two ads just mentally. I'm going to make both of them. Both of them are going to sell the exact same product. And the product is going to be a biz op, kind of like build your own business thing. And the first sales letter is going to be fairly good because to me, it's basically what I want to do, which is kind of like come up with discover how you can turn the ATM that is at your fingertips right now on and actually have it produce money, almost like legally printing money directly to your bank account in less than 60 days. Dot dot dot. And no, it doesn't use. You don't need a massive following. You don't need massive following. An understanding of marketing or any other specialized knowledge, you just need to be you and follow really simple instructions. Let's say that's headline. That'll grab most people. If I turned around and said something like, what's it called? If I turn that into a story, and this is like one I'm blatantly like getting entirely like from the miss like and the X letter from years ago. It's basically around like a money heist. If I start off with let me see, what's it called? We're about to pull the biggest job on earth and you're invited dot dot dot. Discover how you can turn your laptop into a money printing ATM without following any or without breaking any laws. And most importantly, heisting, or what was it? Creating a money heist or creating a situation where you're able to Robin Hood the system, dot, dot, dot. whether that's taking money from the rich and giving it to the poor, enhancing your own life, or anything else, whatever it is, like as is. Sorry, I just had distracting moments. Like, take your what's it? Take your livelihood to the next level, help more people, become the Robin Hood, whatever it is that you want to use as that kind of idea. You would connect more with that. I'll give you a better example. Like, there's a really simple example here. Do you like Quentin Tarantino or no?
I do.
Right. Okay. So if I wrote an email to you and the headline was Tarantino's storytelling secrets versus my storytelling secrets, which are you going to click on?
First one, maybe.
Clearly, because it's Tarantino. He's really reputably known for making hundreds of millions of dollars, if not billions of dollars, as an incredible director that writes great dialogue. Now, if I went through the email and basically talked about how Tarantino's process was there and then ended it with, my process is very, it's it was really nice to see Tarantino confirm a lot of the stuff that I do in my marketing in the way that we do it. So it's almost the same principles with a slight difference. Yeah.
So, what's the last thing you said? I missed on that part.
So it's the same principle with a
Okay.
slight difference. Like, it's the
Okay.
same principles of
I see.
selling with slight difference. So when you tap into what the audience is thinking, you're
Gotcha.
able to relate to them on a much more deeper level because now they think you're one of them.
Right. Makes sense. Makes sense. And then I call it as like you can literally bend the people's will to whatever way
Do
you want with the power of words. That's what it is. And how to
you? Yeah.
use them significantly.
Massively. Like, I'm a nerd for this kind of thing. I was talking to two entrepreneurs this weekend, Ed and Brendan, Brendan Hopkins and Ed Ray. We were in London together, and well, I was just discussing the idea of distance control between this and that, and how simply changing the words this and the word that to different parts of the copy, you can tailor make and change the entire perception of a message.
Yeah, so right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Cool, man. When like you have seen all this, like I'm thinking about you're trying to put myself into your shoes, like when you were 12 and consuming all that stuff, and then 18 you got your first project. So you have literally seen the transition happening. Now, the way old way or traditional way, how did you adapt your skills to keep up with? You gave an example, very great example of that fiction thing. What else do you do to adapt your skills to keep up with this evolving digital marketing trend and platforms?
To be fair, we don't really evolve. It's going to sound really weird, but we're not that different. Like, the only thing that's different is market sophistication has changed, which means you've got to be able to think differently. So what used to work for scammers doesn't work anymore, which is fine. Or not even scammers, but like people that can easily take advantage of something, it doesn't work anymore.
Right.
But the way I keep myself ahead of the game is I just study people. Well, that's how you stay ahead, is like, oh, so and so did this. Great, wonderful. Why does that work? Well, it works because of these reasons. Great, replicate that system. That's fine. But let's look at AI for a minute, right? People are freaking out about AI. I love AI. I think it's one of the best things ever because it's going to get rid of the shitty copywriters that don't deserve the title.
Right.
You know, we can't be called the same thing. If like it's like saying one person's a king and then everyone else says they're a king. Who's really the king? It doesn't really matter. You got to be able to have that merit. So basically, AI is kind of one of those things. You stay ahead of the curve by simply studying what people do, and the way that you stay ahead of it is by applying that knowledge to what normal people feel. Look, if I said
Right.
to you right now, let's see, you want to have a better life for you and your family, you want to live in a good neighborhood, you want them to go to a good place for education, you want them to essentially live with good moral values, and have all the advantages in the world and never really worry about losing money for food or, you know, whatever it is, having shelter, all those fun things. Does that sound like it appeals to you?
It does.
Yeah, that appeals to the same people over the last 35 years of my existence. Like, it's appealed from people from the dawn of time. All I'm doing is I'm not selling on tactic, I'm selling on people. Like, I'm relying on literal your human psychology. What does it dictate?
Oh, that's the best way to explain that. I love that.
Yeah, because you can never go out of business that way.
Right.
Think about it. Like, you just change what you're selling ever so slightly, but that's fine. Like, why do you think PLF, like product launch formula, still works after like nearly 12 years?
Right. Exactly. I personally used it a lot. It's still working. But I remember 2020, I started and I was saying to my coach, I was like, this is just saturated now. It's not going to work. People are not going to respond to it. But we recently did a launch even just like a week ago, L literally hit over 100K from that particular launch. I was like, boom, it's still working.
Yeah, it's kind of like when people say to me, oh, long form copy doesn't work. Really? Okay. I will call bullshit because it is. Because I have seen that argument happen so many times. Drayton Bird said this best. A piece of copy needs to be as like, okay, I like using the butchered Winston Churchill quote, which is really simple. It should be like a woman's skirt, short enough to get your attention, long enough to cover all the details. And that's how it should be done. Hey, David, thank you for that. And thank you everyone else for the actual comments. I've been reading those as they come through. But this is what I'm getting at is if you cannot, because long form people think you're writing them really long, constant, whatever it is. You're not. What you're actually doing is you're writing every argument and answering it as concisely as possible. So that's what long form is. Write the whole thing as long as you can, then go back and trim it off until it's nice and short and compact.
Right, exactly.
That's how you keep it. That's how you keep it
That's
relevant.
smart.
That's how you keep it going.
That's a smart one. I love that. And when we are talking about this AI thing, a lot of people, like, actually, I remember one of my student just sent me a text one day. She was like, "Sahil, this AI ChatGPT is taking my business off." I was like, "What's happening?" And she's like, "Everybody's just writing their own copy. ChatGPT just write it for them." And I'm like, "I don't think so. Seven, eight figure people or these people at level, they have even time to do that." So, and as I said, like, this is just a limiting belief. Now, I want to see your point of view. How would you look at us now when these tools or AI are into the market and other copywriters, some copywriters are freaking out as like, we are going to go out of the business or nobody's going to hire us and all.
Okay, a couple of things. One, if you're a shit copywriter, no harm, no foul. I actually am looking forward to you leaving because you're staying in this industry, in my opinion, and I will sound like a butthole for that, and I will take it. Because the reality is, what you consider a lot of copywriters today are glorified content writers because they don't know shit about marketing, they don't know how to sell, they don't know how to do offer creation, they don't know how to put together strategies, they don't know how to put together funnel copy, they don't know how to do the technical aspects, they don't know any of this. A true copywriter knows all these areas because they are constantly mastering new skills because it's the master skill. Because anytime they're needed, they don't want their message to get messed up by the clients. They gotta get good at all areas. That's why you become a very dangerous person. But anyway, that my little rant aside, here's the way I look at it. AI is nothing more than a power drill to a screwdriver. That's the way I look at it. If you look at a power drill and go, okay, this is a power drill, it's going to be absolutely powerful, it's going to do the thing, whatever it is, and a screwdriver, you're going to need both, but you got to know how to finesse them because sometimes a screwdriver is what's needed, sometimes a power drill is needed. But the person that knows how to use both is in high demand, and knowing how to use them cleverly, it works really well. So I'll give you a better example. I know I'm rambling. I'll give you a really easy example on this one. Your client is going to want something fixed. They can do it themselves using a power drill because anyone at home can use a power drill to put some screws into a wall. But knowing where to put the screws, which screws to put in, how to actually fill the hole, how to make it stable and how to last forever, well, not everyone has that specialized knowledge. That's where your knowledge comes in, where you can actually assist people with that. So getting good at knowing how to use ChatGPT and AI tools is going to be beneficial. So one, two, people are lazy. Okay? People are just flat out lazy. They will say, "Ooh, this is a new shiny object," and then they'll stop using it. That's just the way that we are. We're wired for it because, especially in today's day and age, we're overpowered by new things every single day. We see shiny object syndrome everywhere. This is just a way that's another one of those. And the third, is it going to last forever? Yes, it's going to be like the internet. It's going to become part of it, and it's going to become more proficient over the next generations. But the ones that know how to actually use it will benefit the most. Those that don't will actually use it for low-key, normal, everyday stuff, and that becomes an issue. The third reason is, ChatGPT doesn't know how to write emotion. It doesn't know how to get, it can write somewhat emotionally, but it can't get into the nuance. And the reason it can't get into the nuance is because it doesn't have enough feeding. It doesn't understand those things. And the day that it actually gets to that point where it has those understandings, we're all in trouble as a society because that's the birth of the rise of the machines, the Matrix, Terminator, and all the other fun things as well. So you just got to know when you can do it. Yeah,
Makes
so
sense.
that's how. Yeah, and there's a bunch of different ways to use ChatGPT and stuff like that to actually help you, and a lot of people don't.
Right. I love the analogy of that power drill to a screwdriver. That's amazing. A lot of people don't know how to use it. Simple enough. Exactly. One of my coaching clients sent me this question to ask to Adil. The majority of client base thinks no one can keep their, let me, yeah. The majority of the client thinks no one can keep their brand message intact. They have this stereotype that outsourcing word means somehow the other person won't be able to keep the same essence of their message as them. This problem persists, especially in spiritually inclined coaches who teach what they believe in. How do you let them know that outsourcing copywriting doesn't result in just a bunch of salesy text that screams promotion?
Know how to talk to your audience. And whenever I'm on sales calls with clients, the whole point is I want them to know that I understand them. This is something that Jesse Elder taught me, which is, and by the way, if you've not noticed, I have a bunch of people that have taught me things throughout my entire life, and I take it and I incorporate those into my life, and I just make it my own blend.
That's
What
how we go.
Jesse, so this is something Jesse said, if you can explain your problem better to, if you can explain their problem better to them than they can explain it to themselves, you have a customer for life. They're coming to you because they need copy. Let's just say it's a spiritual coach. What's the problem that you're solving? You'll get your time back. I will help you do sales. I will also help you tell your story in a way that isn't weird. Okay, what does that look like? Well, when I'm on the phone with you, I say, okay, I'm going to ask you questions. I'm going to come up with ideas. And then I'm going to say something along the lines of, well, that sounds really interesting. So if you can have more people buying your program simply by encapsulating these kinds of pieces of ideation, that'll be helpful for you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. And then once you've got that client, you've got to walk them through what your process is. Most copywriters don't have a process. I will tell you right now, the copywriters who have been taught that they need to do deliverables in 2 weeks, who the fuck taught you? Sorry, it annoys me. You can't get a Rolls-Royce in less than 6 months. Stop writing like a Toyota. You're not. You're a Rolls-Royce. You're literally someone that has mastered a skill that most people cannot master. You're getting good at that. That means you're understanding the structural engineering of everything. You're actually understanding how to get great. And in doing so, you need to give yourself enough time to actually do your research, find out what's going on. Forget what your client wants for a moment. Your client can be like, I need this done in 2 weeks. You're like, I'm sorry, I can't do it in 2 weeks. Why? Because the money might be nice, but the stress that comes with that, no, thank you. I'd rather not. I'd rather spend that time. Again, an Abraham Lincoln quote works wonderfully. If I was given a month to chop down a cherry tree, I'd spend like 90% of that time sharpening my axe. You're telling me that you're going to be able to write an entire sales piece in 2 weeks without sharpening your axe, getting all the details that you need to do, all the research, all the understanding, all the delivery. Don't get me wrong, being able to deliver on high-level projects over 2 weeks means more money for you, but it also means you're not giving yourself enough time to actually enjoy your breaks in between and get paid what you're worth. Follow that up as well with the idea of what comes in, which is essentially you have, how do I put this? You have people going out there saying they'll get it done in 2 weeks. You got to tell your client what the timeline is. It's going to take me a month to write everything at the very minimum. Why? Because it took 2 months, 3 months. Doberman Dan takes 3 months to write a sales funnel. I take 2 to 3 months to write a sales funnel. Why do I take so long? Because I'm doing my research, I'm taking my time, I'm understanding what needs to be done. And this is how I have really high conversion rates, is because I don't just throw poop on the wall and expect it to stick. I do research, I figure it out, and I know it's going to sell. Now, when you're thinking about how do I get someone to actually let me tell their story, and I was leading to this, the idea is tell your customer what they're going to be getting. I tell people, look, when we start working together, you're going to get a 1 hour phone call with me where I'm going to sit there, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, I'm going to shut up for most of it, and we're going to record it. Because what I'm looking for is I want to know your tonality. I want to know what words you use. I want to know your vocal path. I want to know exactly what you sound like when you're happy, when you're sad, when you've had something good happen, something strange happen. I want to know all of that, because what ends up happening is when I sit down to write, I'm not writing as Ada Lemarcy. I'm writing as the person you are that you've hired me to be. And I've got to be able to tap into your brain and actually deliver that message as you. So your audience feels like you just took a copywriting class. They don't feel like you hired a copywriter. So to answer your question, person who asked this, the way that you get people to actually feel and remove that fear of hiring a copywriter is by showing them how working with you would actually remove that, because you want to understand them, you want to help them get better, and you want the help, and you want to basically show them a path of least resistance. If you can do that, you're golden.
Absolutely, that's a gold nugget out there. That's amazing. Thanks for answering that, man.
You're welcome. I get very passionate about this stuff, if you can imagine.
Love that. I can see that. And when we are talking about this, actually, I believe like what I have seen over my experience, that the storytelling also, goes hands in hands with the copywriting stuff. Is there any favorite framework that you use, like Adil's favorite framework, when you are in copywriting?
I've built an encyclopedia of them. So I have an entire encyclopedia that I'm still in the process of completing. It will be on sale. It's technically on sale now. But basically, my beta users, they got in like a couple of months ago, and I've just been creating and getting it done because every single thing is my framework for writing sales letters isn't there. Because a lot of people don't know this, but back in 2015, so back in 2011 and 12, everyone was trying to be a guru. And then 2013, 14, and 15, everyone was trying to be authentic. And then 2015, 16, and 17, and onwards, we developed this idea of story selling. I say we because it was me, Ryan Schwartz, Kevin Rogers, Kylie Slavik, Nick Nanton, and a few other people just separately were developing this. Me and Kylie Slavik basically came up with the idea together at the same time. But essentially, it was understanding how to combine story and brand with direct response to create story selling, which is what it became. So I took those ideas and I basically ran through different versions. Like the way I write sales copy and the way I write emails is all based on conversational conversation, basically conversational turned conversation. Like, how would I have this conversation if I was sat with you in a bar right now? How would I have this conversation with you if you were having dinner with me right now? What would we talk about? And I took each one of these frameworks and I developed them into my program. So there's a framework for sales letters, a framework for website, upsells, downsells, emails like welcome sequence, launch sequences, post-launch sequences, pre-launch sequences, webinars. Basically, every form of copy I've ever written in my life is templatized, created into a framework, and put out there. But to answer your question, because you did ask me a question, how do you actually do this? If I can break it down into, I guess the simplest way I can do it is by stealing John Carlton's framework, which is who are you, what do you want, and how do I buy? If you can answer those three questions, you're pretty much golden. That's your beginning, your middle, and end right there, nice and easy. My framework goes a little bit more in depth because we actually have each section broken down. Like key areas, knowing where to put bonuses, where to put guarantees, where to put calls to actions, when to talk about your story, because a lot of people introduce their person at the end. It's not so much that. We do live in a society where what's in it for me is a big thing, but what's even bigger than that is understanding who are you is a much bigger deal than what's in it for me today. Because there's, like, for instance, you might want to buy, let's just see, let's say Harry Potter, perfect example. Harry Potter is a huge franchise, absolutely humongous. Who you are matters just as much as what you produce. Because who produced it? J.K. Rowling. J.K. Rowling. She wrote the books. She's incredible, whatever it is. Because of her beliefs about trans people or whatever it is, that's their own thing. Everyone's got their own opinion, whatever it is. She, whether you agree, disagree, or don't even care, whatever she's got her opinion of, she's lost a significant amount of her audience because of her politics. That goes to show who you are and what you believe in is more powerful than the thing that you give in today's world. So being able to portray that at the very beginning, give them a reason to read and then go, hi, my name is so and so. Give them the idea of your backstory of how they can connect with you and then continue on the conversation becomes far more powerful than let me tell you why I can solve your problems in 90 days or less, blah, 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 all this stuff. And then get right to the bottom and say, oh, by the way, my name is Adol and this is what I do. At that point, they've been thinking about who are you from the very beginning. So they've actually lost most of the sales conversation in transit. So when you're looking at improving that, how you can add those frameworks in is just by asking yourself, who am I? What do I want with this person? And how, like, who am I and what do I want? What am I selling? How do they buy? Those three, followed up by then asking a question, what is it about this audience that would like me, or like, why would they want to relate to me? And then writing it from that perspective as well.
Gotcha. That's deep, man. Love that. Who, what, and how. Simple. Thank you so much, man, for doing that. What's the next thing for Adil?
The next thing is really interesting because, like, I'm actually in the process of adding more content to this site because right now it's building, it's burgeoning. It's definitely going to be a big thing before I hit my birthday in September, which is greatestcopywriteralive.com. You guys can join my mailing list on there. I don't have any of my welcome emails sequenced yet. It's been 2 weeks because I've been doing some tech stuff and building out some more stuff on the back end and deliverables and. It's a whole bunch of stuff, but you guys can head on over to graciouscopywriteralive.com. There's three really good videos on there, some great content. There's my story selling matrix that teaches you how to find your core story, your client's core story in 10 minutes or less, and how to run it back. It's in 7.5 minutes to be exact. And it's an absolute game-changing training, but I'm going to be adding about 1 to 3 blog posts, whether it's myself or guest poster, every couple of weeks, and you guys will see it. And on top of that as well, you guys can get invited to like any free trainings I'm doing and any crazy ideas that was going through. I do have my mentoring program right now, the copywriting mentoring mastery program with Shiv Shetty, the CMMP. That's just if you're an intermediate, meaning you've done this for a few years, copywriting, you're looking to take your results to the next level, reach out to Shiv, let him know that I sent you and you guys saw me here, and that will be a great way for you guys to actually book in a call with him and see if you're a fit. But yeah, I guess my next steps is I'm just going to be doing a lot more writing for my own stuff, launching my own program, and I actually have a book coming out at the end of this year. So
Wow,
a lot of things
exciting.
going on all at once. Yeah,
All the
really
best
excited
for
about that.
all that, man. All the best. And absolutely, I'm going to be dropping all those links to the show notes here after this video is done. Thank you so much, Adil, for giving your time, man, for dropping so many gold nuggets. I learned a lot personally. So thank you so much, man.
Sahil, thanks so much for having me. I hope I can do this again.
Absolutely, man. People who are watching us live or listening to us will be coming up with another episode very soon. Till then, take care. Stay tuned. Bye,
Peace
everyone.
out.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. And if you have enjoyed this episode, make sure to visit dreamclientsecrets.com to get more information about how you can grow and scale your online business. And if you love this show, don't forget to leave me a 5-star review, and I will see you in the next episode.